What insight can you give yourself and that younger version of you that you were always loved, you were always protected, always cared for? It's just people have different perspectives. So then that starts to, like, as soon as that happens and they create that insight, you see people's body just release like an entire energy field or something. It's crazy to watch. Tears will be streaming down their face and they won't even recognize it. You can see it looks like an actual mass has been dispersed from their body as they start to come out of this. And so when you start to heal those root causes, it starts to attach to the same emotion that's played throughout the entire life, and you can start to heal that emotion essentially.
Personal freedom, bi-individual health, mindset, lifestyle, movement, relationships, happiness. Join me on the journey of optimizing your reality into a happy, healthy, and more fulfilling life. My name is Gary Tirola, and this is Optimize Your Life. What's up, listeners? I am pumped. I'm excited. Another guest, another week, and just another dose of wisdom, another dose of growth, another dose of expansion. I'm so pumped. I'm so excited to welcome Josh McCartney. Welcome, brother. Thank you. And welcome.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, of course, man. So for those of you that don't know Josh McCartney, I urge you, go follow him on Instagram, go follow him on TikTok, wherever you deem is appropriate for you, at Josh M. McCartney, well, Josh McCartney Official. Josh helps coaches and speakers improve their public speaking skills. And I know it's one of the biggest fears in the world, which we're going to go into later. But he's also a memory and learning coach. I came across this amazing man on the stage of TEDx in Al Khaz in Dubai. He's an Aussie based in Dubai, so there's going to be lots to talk about. So thanks so much, Josh. Welcome to the room. And
man, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for having me on.
No worries, man. Let's start with a bang. I always like to start right in the deep end, and that is being a coach and someone that helps speakers and coaches really identify their skills within speaking. Why do you think public speaking is one of the greatest fears of all time?
I think that's something to do with evolutionary science towards it. I'm not 100% sure. However, when you're in front of a crowd of people, you are outcasted from the crowd at the same time, right? So generally, humans have a tendency to need to belong. And when you do belong, you tend to fit into big crowds. That's why we have so many different niches and subcategories of different people doing different things, because they find a way to fit into that category. And when you're public speaking, you're completely out of the crowd. You know, you're up there alone and you're trying to present information to try and get this crowd to listen to you. And it's kind of like you give so much of you, and if they don't give it back, it's essentially like your body thinking it's about to die. So as far as I can see, it has some sort of primal fear linked to death as well and being outcasted. So that's what I've kind of concluded with it. Don't know how accurate it is, but it's kind of some of those little associations I just grabbed over time and linked it towards that.
Yeah, 100%. And so your journey, have you always been outspoken? Have you always been that kid in the family that was on stages and acting and all that? Or is this something that you learned?
This is definitely something I learned. I was so shy as a kid growing up, and I was definitely introverted. I was, you know, that shy kid in the family. I was always told to be quiet, essentially one of those, you know, should be seen, not heard sort of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of my uncles, even when I used to live with him for a bit, he used to hate my laugh. So I wasn't even allowed to laugh in my own home. So a voice was something I really had to work on to identify how to actually use it, right? So it's one of those things that's been the most difficult for me to actually use, is because it was always shut down.
Yeah.
So as I started to get older and older and stuff, I realized that I have a lot of information that I want to present to people. I have a lot of ideas that I think can help others. So I started to just speak in front of the camera. And even in front of the camera, it was like scary. You know, I'd be holding the camera and be like, 30 seconds, I don't even know if I could do that. And eventually I just started doing it more and more and more. And I got a gig at a cycling studio. And in this particular studio, you have to do a motivational speech every single time, right? That was the scariest thing.
Which studio was that?
It's called Storm Cycling.
Okay. So like similar to like Soul Cycle and that.
Exactly.
Kind of vibe. Okay.
Exactly. So learning how to do that sort of speech when, you know, the music goes down, the lights are off, and everybody's just waiting and listening. And to be able to use your tonality and emotionally connect with people, and actually you end up getting people crying in the thing, and they'll drive an hour and a half just for that one class, right? So that was the biggest and scariest thing for me to overcome, was that ability to be able to speak in that capacity and be able to be emotional and vulnerable. And I think that was one of the biggest things that helped me to be able to start doing public speaking, because it was learning on the fly and being put under that sort of pressure. And then I started to translate it into, you know, the content, the understanding of information that I know and how to use that and present clearly in that sort of space as well. Mm. And then eventually, yeah, it's led me up to stages and workshops and TED Talks and lots of stuff. So it's been a long journey, but it's been worth it.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. And I thank you for sharing that story with us and with the listeners about just the gap between yourself and your family. And going more personal into that angle of things, can you credit the skills that you learned for public speaking and being more extroverted? Or did you more come to terms with who you were at your core and you stopped, potentially you let go of what other people thought of you?
I think it's a bit of both, definitely. Like, it's been a journey inward to be able to present outward for me. You know, like growing up in that sort of capacity, it was difficult for me to be able to present any sort of information. And it's something I've really, really had to work on. And I think it's a bit of both. Mm. I really think it's a bit of both. I think it's a skill that people can train. And so far as I've helped a lot of people to do so, that's been accurate. It just depends on how much you want to give. And it gets easier if you have a message that you want to share to people.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. It's like a lot of people I find are very willing to learn and activate a skill, like a certain skill set, away from the emotions that go with it. But we're emotional beings at the end of the day. And I think we can never separate ourselves from the emotions. And what particular way did you use in your life in order to help your emotions catch up to your skill set? Because it sounds like you first developed the skills, or the skills came across you first because you had to survive, which is totally normal. And I love that. What kind of mannerisms today that you're using to allow your emotions to catch up to that space?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point you're making, because it's like you learn the art, you learn the craft or the skill, and then you begin to create art with it, right? So I think it was actually the cycling classes that helped me to do that. Because I had to be open and vulnerable and speak off the top of my head, you know, things that I was working on at that point of time and how to motivate others to do that sort of same thing. So I think it might have been actually during the cycling classes that allowed me to do so. And then starting to do workshops in person, where you start to get a lot of people asking the questions. When you start coaching people as well, you have to connect with them. You have to get deep and vulnerable. Hmm. So I think I learned to hold space to people when they're in that sort of, you know, dark moment or something. You know, it's to be able to be experiencing their experience, essentially. Hmm. So the coaching allowed me to really slow down and stop being about me. And as I started doing a lot more online, you kind of start to realize that it's not about you. If you look at my profile, it's not Josh McCartney. It's here's the information that I can help you with. There's really nothing about myself on my profiles. And so I guess you start to learn to stop being about you and less about your own ego and more about how you can help others. And it's just been that slow transition into that mind frame that's really, really helped, I think.
Mm. That's beautiful, man. And have you been able to repair, well, I'm not sure if the relationship was damaged between the said people that you mentioned, such as your uncle and the people that you grew up with. But have you been able to repair and get into a more balanced relationship now?
I think I've just learned to love them from afar. Mm. You know, I don't think they even knew that they were doing anything wrong, to be honest. Yeah. So I don't hold it against them. It's just how I took it as a child, which is also fair. But I don't think it's something that I hold on to. I think it's something I let go of a long time ago, you know, and I know that people are doing the best with what they have in the current, you know, consciousness level that they're at. So I don't judge people for what they're doing and the actions that they give. I don't judge people on the behaviors. It's just, you know, everyone is learning, and actually every behavior has a positive intention behind it. So whatever his intentions were about, like stopping me from laughing in my own home, whatever it was, there was still a positive intention of him allowing me to be there. And, you know, looking out for me and, you know, giving me food and all this stuff, you know. So there's still positivity behind it. So I've learned to let go of the angst and the anger and stuff that you have as a teenager, and just learn to, you know, appreciate and love them from who they are and from afar. You know, I don't feel like I need to have a close relationship because we're very different people. But at the same time, I don't have any sort of resentment against it.
Yeah, of course.
I'm grateful for it.
That's beautiful, man.
Because I actually wouldn't be up here doing this if it wasn't for those sort of things.
100%. So. It's our journey that inspires. It's our journey that kickstarts our divine journey, getting us onto the path which we have meant to be on. And I always say, like, for me, my journey of going through recovery and addiction and all that, I always say I'm so grateful for that. It's like, yeah. I don't have a place to be resentful of my past journey, even though it's not the life I'm living now. Like, I'm just so grateful for that. And I can see in you the gratitude that you're showing of the journey that you've experienced, and not to hold on to something that is such an energizer. Like, I love that. It's such an energizer. I think what listeners need to hear quite loudly is that our parents are, or our guardians or our loved ones or our families, are acting according to what they've inherited from their guardians. So it's not essentially them, you know, it's they've inherited something and they're giving it to you. And now you've changed the course of your family, and now you get to pass on your lessons through Instagram, through TikTok, or just through being a parent one day, which is so awesome, man. And I love that. So maybe let's pivot more into what is your direction right now. I want to understand a lot more about your expertise. Obviously, when I first came across you on the TEDx stage, you were very focused on being a memory and mindset coach. I'm very interested in knowing what about memory particularly got you going.
Sure. So I've been in personal development for, you know, 12 or so years now, and I was just always obsessed with it. You know, I've been a musician and performer for about a decade as well, and I kind of realized that music was the thing that wasn't really fulfilling me anymore. I still enjoy music, but I don't really enjoy it as a job. I think when you do something as a job for too long, it can become like tedious and monotonous. Yeah. And that was starting to happen. You know, I was having pretty unhealthy lifestyle. You know, you're out 6-7 nights of the week, you end up partying a lot more than you probably should, and end up feeling really low energy and all this stuff. And it's difficult to get out of those environmental triggers. So I started getting really deep into self-development. You know, I'd start listening to podcasts whenever I drive. I'd be listening to Tim Ferriss or Tony Robbins or Eckhart Tolle, or, you know, nowadays it's more like Joe Dispenza and Bob Proctor and stuff like that. But I was starting to just get obsessed with information. I studied NLP, studied CBT, and I got really, really deep into habit training and like changing habits and goal setting and all these sort of things in all together. And then my friend introduced me to a course on memory, and we were both kind of like, why does nobody know about this stuff? How is it possible that we have an entire schooling system globally that doesn't teach you how to learn information and how to remember the information that you're learning? You know, so I started doing these courses, and it really started to connect both mental health aspects for me, because I started to understand how memories are formed and why you believe the things you believe, and how your memory is not even reliable, especially with the stories that we're telling in our mind over and over again. And it started to help me in both mental health, and it also started to help me to be able to learn new information, so it improved my confidence. Because in the past, I used to think that I was the person that I'd go to new conversations and new tables and speak to people, and I wouldn't understand what they're talking about. But now that I'm able to learn anything really, really quickly, I have something to speak about. Even if I don't know the content or the information they're presenting, I'm able to ask the right questions to be able to seem like I understand a bit better and to be able to learn the information better. So it gives you a social confidence as well. And we just started getting really, really good at these techniques. And I was researching about 4 to 7 hours every single day just because I was obsessed with it. And we started getting better, started teaching people. And eventually it was like, this is what I actually do. This is what I love doing. You know, it's like when you show people some memory techniques and they can do something they'd never done, you just see their brain open up and they're like, wow, my brain can do that. It's crazy. And it is actually effortless, because it's the natural ways that the brain learns and remembers anyway. We're just reactivating it and giving you systems. So it improves people's ability to absorb new information, learn skills, improve their confidence, improve their ability to essentially upskill and become more valuable in each area of their life. So it just became addictive. And it's just something I'm passionate about now. It's just my whole life now.
How much are people separated from their truth with a false belief system? Because I heard you mentioned quite a bit, you know, of like people saying, well, can I really do this? Wow, I didn't know this was possible. So that's kind of where the question is stemming from.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of messed up by false beliefs, to be honest. And when I started to learn about memory, one of the the biggest facts that just like blew my mind was at least 50% of the things that you tell yourself about what's happened, even in the last year, didn't even happen. So if you've had an argument with a friend, or if you've had, you know, a bad experience, the experience that you actually remember, at least 50% of the details has changed within 1 year's time. So within 2 years' time, what do you think the memory is actually happening? What you're repeating and what you're holding on to is a story about that situation that might not have even happened, because you have two different perspectives of one truth, right? Somebody leaves a situation with a completely different experience than the other person, but you hold on to the story and you keep repeating that story, and that becomes a truth. So you might have had this interaction with somebody, they might not have been even thinking, they might have said something, and you've held on to that for the last 6 years and become bitter about it. And that's possible.
And how do you let go of that?
So a lot of people, you need to change the story for starters. And a lot of the thing is that people hold on to the emotion. So the memory itself, people try to avoid the memory because it's painful, but the actual thing they're trying to let go of is the emotion. So an experience without emotion is wisdom. So distilling the lessons that you've learned from that situation about, just like before, right, with my childhood, not being able to laugh or being able to speak in my own home, the lessons were that I need to develop my voice so that I can help others because I have information. So I've distilled that lesson, I've taken away the emotion. So now it's just wisdom. It's just what it is and what happened, and it's just factual. But a lot of people, they hold on to it as if it's still happening. So their body is physiologically living in the past, so they can't create a new future from that point.
And how are you actually using mechanisms to separate yourself from emotion? Because from my understanding, emotion is just a varied vibration or a different form of vibration that our bodies are experiencing at an energetic level. So are you using a specific skill set, or are you just shutting off the emotion? I'd love to hear more.
So I do things in NLP, so neuro-linguistic programming. There are different techniques like timeline retracing or matrix reprinting and stuff like that, where you're able to essentially get outside of yourself and out of your own perspective so that you can see yourself and your situation from different perspectives. And from there, you can create a different insight. And when you do that, something magical just happens. You know, you'll take people back to when they're 3 or 4 years old or something, and maybe their parents didn't look at them when they were trying to ask them for help. And that created a detachment, or it created a separation from that child and their parents, and thinking that, you know, when they needed help, nobody was there to help them. And they've deeply rooted that belief system until now. So they might have difficulty trusting people. So you can take them back by retracing the same emotion back into that age when the root cause started. And then you take them outside of that perspective and say, hey, so what was your parent doing at that stage? And they're like, oh, maybe they were just trying to grab their keys or something, or maybe they were doing this. Okay. And how does that person actually feel about you in that situation? Well, they love me. They care about me, all this sort of stuff. And so what insight can you give yourself and that younger version of you? And it might be that you were always loved. You were always protected, always cared for. It's just people have their own life and all this sort of stuff, and people have different perspectives. So then that starts to, like, as soon as that happens and they create that insight, you see people's body just release like an entire energy field or something. It's crazy to watch. Tears will be streaming down their face and they won't even recognize it. And it just, you can see it looks like an actual mass has been dispersed from their body as they start to come out of this. And so when you start to heal those root causes, it starts to attach to the same emotion that's played throughout the entire life, and you can start to heal that emotion essentially.
So essentially what I'm hearing is you're kind of like pivoting the emotion. So instead of like eradicating it, you're more pivoting it from the attachment to the bad feeling emotion into a feeling of like a openness, feeling of, openness feeling, a good feeling, a joyous feeling, a happy feeling, something that you can relate to more in your truth.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So you're essentially letting go of the negative emotions and all the things and the stories that you hold on to, and you're creating it more of a lighter emotion, like love or joy or peace or acceptance or whatever that emotion is for them.
And then of course it does feel physically lighter, like on the
person.
Yeah,
it does.
With all the people that you've helped, all your clients in all formats, whether that's corporate, whether that's just personal one-on-one, whether that's group coaching, being on the stage, TEDx, all these things, what do you think is the major contributing factor to negative emotions in our world?
The contributing factors to negative emotions?
Yeah, to experiencing the negative emotion.
I think replaying stories. You know, this is one of the things I kind of learned with training memory is that humans learn through stories. You know, there's a quote, I think it's Muriel, I don't know the last name. She says that the universe is made up of stories and not atoms, right? So stories are the way that we experience, we interact, we connect, we relate. It's how we, you know, get from point A to point B is a story. It's how we trace our entire life. If you think about any situation, like where you were 2 days ago, you think about the story happening. If you think about a conversation, it's a story. And, you know, people hold on to a story and they just keep repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. And whatever that story means to that person will create the experiences that they have. So if you want to change your life, you need to change the story around it. Because we're all telling stories all the time. Yeah. And most of them aren't real. so it's essentially, if you want a happier life, tell your own story and create a new story, because the brain doesn't know the difference between a fake story and a real story. That's why you can cry in movies.
Yeah.
Right. So your life is a fake story until you create the repetition of it. And then it becomes real to you.
And then it becomes your personality. And then it just becomes your life. And then you hand it over to your kids and your grandkids and.
Exactly.
And then we land up in a place where I don't know how I landed up here. And it's like, if we have to retrace it, just like you mentioned, and just like with the NLP strategies that you use, it becomes quite obvious. And I would imagine the first step for you that you see in clients is a willingness to go there. And that is step one.
Pretty much. So you can always tell when people are or aren't ready for this sort of work. You can just tell. So I don't really work with people unless I feel that they are ready for that point.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. And I know the listeners would have definitely picked up quite a few methods and tips and all that. But if they want to go a little bit deeper, where can they find you? Where's the best place?
Yeah, so you can reach out to me on Instagram, Josh McCartney Official, or you can watch my TikTok, Memory Coach. Yeah, feel free to reach out to me in either of those places. Otherwise, you can check out my email, josh@memoryplaybook.com. And that's about it.
That's amazing. And your TikTok is off the hook. Go check Josh out on TikTok. He is, I think he had 700,000 followers there?
Pretty close, 672-ish.
Yeah, man, let's raise the roof. I was going through a whole bunch of your videos and there's some epic ones. The one that got me the most is, I think it's your number one video. It's got something 11 million views or something, where you said,
the picture.
Go look at all these 20 pictures or 30 pictures or whatever that is, and then try and remember them and test your memory out. And I personally have been obsessed with the work of Jim Quick.
Amazing.
So going through all his work and all that, and I literally just devoured his book and I tested myself how can I read faster. And it's really an amazing skill to be able to learn how to power the supercomputer in your mind.
Yes.
So to all the listeners,
when you turn it on, everything else gets easier.
100%, man. And I can just see by your lightness of your energy. So listeners, please go show Josh some love. And if you want any work in the memory facet of your life or public speaking and you want to up that, go reach out to Josh. Cool, brother. Thank you so much,
man.